wrestler, you know, and I don't know anything about holds, but I knew this was self-preservation time. And I just said, well, I'm going to the ladies' room, huh?
Yeah.
So I went to the ladies' room, and I hid the darn thing. And he wanted to know where it was. We had a major battle. But the end thing that happened was I wrote a nice letter, found out the name of the manager of the club, because I knew protocol. I knew you can't go and just really mess everybody up. And I sent a letter saying, is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
To have it, to the club manager. But I sent copies of the pictures and the letter to the wife of the general commander of the base and the wife of the commandant.
Oh, man. You wanted to get in trouble.
With the pictures.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I...
Well, you thought you were...
helping the wives.
Yeah. The wives, at this point, no doubt, are privy to all this stuff, right?
Yeah. See, I thought, in the real world, this is what you do. Somebody... But what happened was I went home, and the wives were meeting there, and I told them what I had done, and Carol and Millis said, oh, no, you didn't do that, did you? George won't get promoted. You know, he was trying to make general.
Uh-huh.
But Louis Buell had already died. He wouldn't have made general anyway because of Sue. I already found out about that. But I didn't know that at the time.
Uh-huh.
So, but Charlotte Moore, whose family are better educated, and she's kind of the leader of the pack because she's more rational than the rest of the wives, she said, Kay, thank you very much. We appreciate what you did for us. And then all the rest of them kind of, you know, they're like little puppets too. But then I found out from Brooks West that I was flagged. That General Gray had me marked as a troublemaker.
Gotcha.
So after that, no more stories while he's drinking, you know, it was a very, he was having to balance them and me. You know, he was, I think he was challenged by me because he knew that I was a free spirit. He didn't understand Christ. He didn't understand what my boundaries are. But he, because he was a little bit intimidated by my sense of freedom and my, you know, openness,
mm-hmm.
which comes from a complete understanding of where Christ is in my life, you know, mm-hmm. and I follow in his footsteps, and but I'm a free spirit because I'm created independently, as we all are, and my husband never had that ability to be free from the time
because,
he was a teenager.
Because early on he was made captive to these other matters. The homosexual counters and the shame that brings and the control. So he was a bent twig.
That's
early
it.
On.
Yeah. And he had the Saudis were beginning to pile into Russell House at the Hun School in Princeton, which is the school that my husband was in for 4 years on scholarship. He never saw his parents in 8 years. Now think about this. His parents were shipped to California, I believe strategically so that they could control his mind.
Okay.
He was too poor to fly out there. I think he did go one time when he was ROTC on a flight that took him forever and a day to get out there. But he had an uncle later on who bought a house in Princeton when he was in college. So he had a little bit of nurturing. And this uncle became his father.
Okay.
And this uncle's two sons and the next door neighbor became his wife. He knew he had to marry because of what he had gone through, and it was, I think, so shameful and so hard on him that he married right at graduation day, practically, from Princeton. University, where he had 4 years in ROTC. And he was in the cap and gown club, which, as I mentioned before, is an intelligence sort of football kind of scholarship club. But what's interesting is my uncle, who was in intelligence, Ben Delaney, went through exactly the same hoops. I was thinking, you know, when I met my husband, this is, and it probably was God in many ways, but I thought, isn't it amazing that Uncle Ben, who was the football quarterback star for Princeton, the 1 year they won the whole national thing, he was, he went to the Hun School, his father and mother were both killed or something happened to them, and I think they were fairly well-to-do, prominent family. He was handsome, wonderful, just a neat man. So he went on scholarship to the Hun. And then, and he went in with crew and all these other things. He was in cap and gown. He was, he played on the football team. He wasn't a cheerleader. My husband was a cheerleader. But they were in exactly the same pattern, ROTC scholarship. They went, left ROTC. They were dependent on the government, on the intelligence community, you know, selling weapons to whatever country. I know the country, but in other words, they were doing work for the joint under the table all these years.
Okay, and directly under whose instructions to sell these weapons? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, who would that be?
Well, it's the Israeli Zionist group in New York.
Mossad?
But everybody thinks Mossad like they think CIA is just a bogus sort of thing. It's really Army intelligence that does just about everything. They run this a lot of the psychological profiling, which is done at Quantico with the FBI. It's all a very small group. Harvard professors connected with, you know, the Tavistock and Dar es Salaam, and there's a sexual perversion group in Vienna and one in Colorado. I think that little girl was part of that experiment, you know, who was
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, because I had some...
Well, you know, that raises an interesting point, because here's a high-profile murder that goes nowhere. No investigation, nobody's pinned. It just goes on and on and on.
The parents are involved in that program.
But somebody higher up is protecting them.
Absolutely.
And the same thing that you're describing about the military.
Sure.
If you're in the clique, you can get away with murder.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Murder, literally murder.
Uh-huh.
And I had a group of visitors. I used to be set up by the State Department, my husband, who had power in the State Department through both Caspar Weinberger and, his whole crowd. Caspar Weinberger, George Bush, Colby, Casey. My husband was in that clique. He was in the Princeton Marine Corps clique. Rob, Warner, you know.
You're talking all, Senator Rob.
Yeah, they're all Marines. Pat Robertson, all 4th Marines. I mean, they're all involved in this. They know, they're running everything.
Now you mentioned Pat Robertson. You're talking about the 700 Club, uh-huh, Pat Robertson.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a power thing there. And it's all male, it's all white, and they know the murders are going on. They're surgical, they're strategic, they're political. But what I was going to tell you is I was used because I was the most gullible in high school. And I'm very, very spiritual, and I love people. So, and I was driven to meet all these people from all over the world for some reason. So they would feed me people because they knew I would react. It's kind of like Monica and Bill. I think they put Monica in there to have something on Bill. That's my own feeling. Sarah McLendon feels the same way.
Uh-huh.
Because...
And Linda Tripp was there to guide the situation.
Absolutely. Of course. Linda Tripp was Delta Force. Linda Tripp was trained by Carl Steiner, who's in the diary with my husband. Carl Steiner is called a snake. And he tried to trip up Schwarzkopf. I mean, he was trying to take the whole Iraqi thing over because they had been baiting, you know, using the Israeli rogues in Turkey. They were having little zigzag wars. It's all to sell weapons. It's all about weapon sales. It's all about drugs. It's all about funny money.
Making money.
Of course. And the head Krulak, who is the Commandant of the Marine Corps, his father, Victor Krulak, worked with this Russian, Czechoslovakian double agent who was worked with Al Gray, who was enlisted at that time, rose right up to the top because they were involved with Bucher and this whole crowd that was trying to pick fights. Mm-hmm. And they were not, they were Army and Navy together,
mm-hmm.
joint. And George kept saying, George calls them the members of the firm. He calls them the members of the firm. I've heard the Brotherhood. They're very close. And it's a small group, and it's very hierarchical. I had Caspar Weinberger's bodyguard farm me when I was at Sarah McLendon's.
Now, farm you.
Yeah, that's a term that they use.
Where they cultivate?
Not cultivate, but just want to find out kind of, they're doing profiling on me. Women are hard to profile because we're very easy. We're very easy if you understand women. And I think they need more women in human intelligence because we'd solve a lot of these problems like overpopulation or whatever it is very quickly. Because we're the ones who teach the men how to talk, how to communicate. We think on 20 levels at once. You know, we're very spiritual. We're very practical all at the same time. And they make mistakes by pegging women as crazy when really they're very anxious to solve problems. They're just very frustrated to see a lot of wacko things going on that don't need to be going on, but the guys don't see it. So with my husband and so forth, I was used... They profiled me. They knew I loved international people because I'd already demonstrated that. And there was a group of sexual psychiatrists from Vienna who came over. I have pictures of them. I was their escort. George was already gone, and I was intrigued that they were still sending me people.
Okay, now you referred to them as sexual psychologists?
Yeah, there's a whole range of psychiatrists who study perversion,
okay,
sexual perversion. Harvard, Yale, Johns Hopkins, and this Colorado group. Dar es Salaam, where they train the black African terrorists. They train them in interrogation. They train the JAGs in interrogation methods and so forth. And a lot of these guys got their experience in Vietnam. Intentionally, they took these little boys. That's what they're doing in Bosnia right now. They're training future leaders in perversion. They have a school. The British have a school that George was working with in Indonesia for a year. My husband was setting up there was already a program on East Timor, a little place there in the mountains, that had been set up by the Australians during World War II. It was involved, I think, with Burma and, you know, some of the killings that were going on in China and so forth. Mm-hmm. That T. Parker Host, this man who now controls my husband with Bob Edwards, T. Parker Host, this is how they got together. T. Parker Host, I knew when I was the assistant director of the Virginia Center for World Trade. I was the first woman on the board of the Foreign Commerce Club. I was very involved politically, and I was having a ball. And I met T. Parker Host through someone else. I was the chairman of a board of all these international shippers and brokers. I was just a, you know, sort of a glorified secretary, public relations person. Now, T. Parker Host was the Finnish consul, and the he'd been the Norwegian consul, the Icelandic consul. I thought he was a really nice guy because he was outgoing, he seemed Virginian. I didn't know that much about him. But it turns out he has one shipping agency when I meet him in 85. He knows my husband's profession instantly because he brags about being with the mob. See, the mob runs the port of Norfolk. I mean, it's terrible to say, the bankers and then that. Then they have the, this is not, I can't say that.
You can't say what?
No. It's, the ports are run by, it's a homosexual hierarchy.
Okay, it makes sense. That's not an objection.
Well, okay. And in Norfolk, it's Walter Chrysler, Phil Hornthal, you know, they have the rich ones, and then they get the little ones in by introducing them to the big guys. It's like George met Einstein. Einstein was in that little ring that the Saudis were in. It was a very elite.
No, you're saying Einstein?
Albert Einstein. Okay. Was in that little Princeton ring before he died.
Okay.
George, they partied together. Anyway, so the Norfolk crowd runs the port. It's very organized and so forth. And I knew the person who was running the Maritime Association Shipping Agency, very nice man who was that way. But I didn't know it. You know, I went out with him. I like him very much. I mean, he's a very nice person. But
And completely homosexual.
Completely. But he liked me, and I thought he was wonderful.
Many homosexuals are very engaging
people.
Yeah, he's
a very, very nice guy. Well, his best friend was T. Parker Host. He lived with him for a while. Well, I didn't think anything about Parker because, you know, he'd been married and had a couple of sons, and I thought, well, you know, this is just a guy who's moved away from Newport News for some reason and settled in Norfolk. I thought it was unusual. He didn't have any friends. You know, I didn't know. But it wasn't because of that. It was because Parker had some questionable associations with mob figures, with assassins. He was in the Burma Special Operations Command. He liked living a dangerous life, and he bragged about it to others. My husband and he gravitated to one another. And I thought it was wonderful because my husband didn't seem to have any friends. So I sort of fixed him up with Parker. Well, Parker's the one who did me in, you know. Parker plotted, and it's a long story, but basically, and this sounds petty, but I wouldn't go out with him. And I'm not saying I did anything that was, it's just that he wasn't my type.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
You know, well, I mean, not, but he just was, he's boorish, he's loud, he's kind of rude.
So you're saying even just in a social context.
Yeah. So what happened was, because my husband is so close to Bush and McFarland and Scowcroft and all these guys, Parker starts getting in with my husband's friends and cultivating them. And he goes from having one shipping agency to dotted all over the place. He goes from being a Democrat in petty little Virginia politics and being the Icelandic Finnish consul to having big shipping deals going through Iceland and Finland. and Norway. And my husband's setting up deals in Moss, Norway, which I was the president of the Sister City Association. I was being used while my husband, while they were setting up, you know, shipment places, transshipment places. I mean, I was witnessing all of this. And it all came back to me, just boom, like that. But Parker, it was so interesting. We had a hearing. I had a hearing with my husband. That very day, George Bush was in town. My husband was in town. My home was broken into while I was in court. Very strategically, I was called by a Marine colonel named Jack, who is very involved with the maritime shipping business, and he knew that I know a lot about that. He called me and invited me as a guest of his to attend the George Bush huge banquet with John Warner while my house was being robbed. My car was sabotaged that day. And guess who introduced George Bush? T. Parker Host. Now, he made it to the big time.
You know, Alexander Haig is another one. You can help us out tonight. Coffee,
thank
I think
you.
About that.
Yeah, he's a friend.
Alexander Haig, he rose from nothing to top dog just overnight. That's because he's in the club.
Oh, of course he's in the club. Now, how he's in the club, you see.
Now, all these guys.
Heinz Kissinger. Oh, I have a story.
We all suspect Henry's a queer.
Oh, yeah, I have a first-hand story from Bob, who was there in Cambodia with Heinz.
Okay, you call him Heinz.
Henry.
Yeah, okay.
Heinz. His real name is Heinz Kissinger.
Okay. We'll straighten up. We got a light that fell down, boys. Did you notice that? We got to be alert to notice all these little things. And that's very hot, by
the
way.
See, Haig. Haig was an
just,
army.
Just say, let's get this straight here, because right. that is a hot light, and you'll burn your fingers if you don't touch it. By the way, as long as we're kind of in an unofficial break here, did you have to read my note while I was writing it?
It seemed just part of it.
When I was writing it? Or only when I held it up?
When you held it up over here.
Okay.
I made an adjustment.
Well, I was starting to write. I wrote, widen her a bit. And then I looked up, well, lo and behold, he's done it. So I thought, well, maybe he could read this over my shoulder. That's cool. And then...
You saw it and interpreted.
I've seen you.
You could read it from here?
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, this is... y'all are wonderful. What a team.
And then,
you are.
You could... Thank you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, all you got to do, if you write it, just tip up a little bit, I'll...
Okay. Because the thing that... When she's illustrating something and using her hands, well, then... Seize on that and open it up so that we don't lose the lower part of our hands. You know, not far enough down to where, strategically we get out of focus, but just, that's cool. All right, we're back, and this is good. Let's go back to, we want to talk about Henry Kissinger, but also I introduced the idea about George Bush. Three, two, one. Now, so George Bush, I mean, all these people rise up to the ranks, the same club. Right. No wonder, you know, I saw a little TV clip one time where a reporter was asking George Bush and others about the Order of the Skull and Bones. All these guys were shocked that somebody even mentioned the term, and they just would not discuss it at all.
Right.
And the reporter said, I understand that as part of the oath, you don't discuss it. And George just flat out said, it's just not to be discussed. And that was the end of the subject. Now, that's because, I mean, if this really got out, that these guys are all inducted because they've got some kind of homosexual
right.
thing on them.
Indoctrination. I mean, yeah. or induction. They have to do that.
Yeah.
They do that. Uh-huh. Yeah. In a coffin. And it's even now coming into the military totally. The chiefs do that. They put them in the coffin. They do the bowling ball trick.
Okay, you got to explain this. What happens when you get in the coffin? Why do you get in a coffin?
Oh, they get, when you get your eagles, that's a German thing.
Okay.
You know, it's what the German high command did, and most of them, you know, had the boyfriends and stuff,
mm-hmm.
the Krupps and all of that. It is a German thing that they say goes back to Greece, and it's all the male marine-looking men that they do it with. So now the chiefs have to do that. What they do is they get, George said it's like a zoo. They get everybody really drunk. And they sometimes call it dining in. Shellback is another time that they do it. Not everybody does it, but the ones who do it, if they're young, they get right up to the top. It's a...
Okay, well, what actually do they do? They've got a coffin, they get
anal
inside...
Anal sex. That. They do... They put them in the coffin and they do things.
Okay, they perform things on each other.
Yeah, while they're all around there going drunk. And
I see. So there's a guy in the coffin.
Yeah, and he's the one who is
the recipient of all the acts.
Right.
Probably safe to conclude these are oral sex acts on this guy or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Oral and anal, whatever. But
what's the significance of the coffin?
I don't know.
It's the mystique about the skull and bones.
What's
and
interesting is the now the young SEALs, Delta Force, the ones who go from Army to BUDS, the BUDS training SEALs. BUDS is the emerging SEAL group.
Oh, I see. They're budding SEALs.
Budding SEALs.
I see.
And they have to break into houses. Their training exercise is to break into civilians' houses.
For practice.
For practice. They broke into my house. When George and I were first married, I had many, many, many underwear. You know, this is terrible to say, but lingerie. I had lots of, you know, I didn't buy much, but it all disappeared. And then when the psyching was beginning, I had white blouses, but they would all have black dots on them. I'd say, George, here's another blouse with a black dot.
It was just a little message?
This is somebody's message, you know. Or I would, after George left, it was batteries in a drawer. You know, you can't tell the police I opened up a drawer where I had six batteries and now I've got 50 batteries. They're going to say, well, of course you're crazy, you know. And I started my little sob with a screwdriver. And, you know, I was always looking around for screwdrivers. Well, one day I come home. And there are about 12 screwdrivers on the table, you know, neatly placed. Well, you can't call the police and say, I've got 12 screwdrivers, you know. You can't tell people that you've got black dots on all your white blouses. You know, your shoes are disappearing. And then, this is really, I call the police the first break-in, which was the night of March the 4th, the night before I went to see General Joy at the Marriott.
Yeah.
Well, I had already called the police when I was battered because I was just bruises. I made O.J.'s wife look like Marilyn Monroe. I mean, you talk about. And I was doing this because I thought it would help him, you know, have 45s put to my head. And he's laughing. He'd strangle me and put his finger on my jugular vein. And he'd just say, now, don't you dare move, you know. I mean, or I'd be lying in bed and he'd do a jap where he just pushed me off the bed. You can't believe what horror I went through to try and get this man to understand what Christ's love is about. You know, people say, oh, well, you should have left. Well, I took my marriage vows seriously. I knew he was injured psychologically by the war, by whatever he was made to do. So, I mean, I'm fine. I just sacrificed a lot. I was in a big wrestling match with a crazy guy, you know. But I still love the little boy within. He's very troubled. But anyway, I called the police after a number of little break-ins. And guess what? The policeman they sent was a little short guy with a short haircut whose name was Shorty Satterwhite.
Okay.
And Shorty Satterwhite was saying, oh, now, Ms. Griggs, now you're just making this up. Now, you know, Ms. Griggs, this is just, you're just traumatized. Your husband's gone, blah, blah, blah. I found out he was a 20-year Marine.
Okay.
And not only that, but some other, there's another part of his life. But that's okay. I mean, he's a nice guy. But he was a Marine.
And he takes orders.
Of course he does. He's still reserve. Mm-hmm. So I think, okay, I'll call the FBI. You know, I'll let them know what's going on. I heard about the FISA court and that they, you know, because I'm talking about William Colby, maybe they think I'm a threat because I know all these international people. So I'm just going to call them and tell them what's going on. So I called Torrance, who's the head of the FBI, and he's too busy, you know, too busy. So he sends this guy, Dan McNally, out. And Dan McNally is a very nice guy, and he has this girl interview me, and I type out something about Georgia's history and what I know. Guess who else is a 20-year Marine? Dan McNally.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that Dan McNally's best friend, and he's not married either, but that's all right, his best friend, who is from North Carolina and never married, is a best friend of Fred Hentz, who's the one who took me to this place, Mahi Maz, where I had the two death threats, who was graduated from college in the class in flat 59. He was intelligence. His father was a German high, part of the Kaiser's elite group.
Mm-hmm.
He was NATO colonel, which I thought was pretty neat, and that's why they knew the profile. Kay likes NATO people because she's going to learn a little bit about another culture, you know. And I'm not saying that because his family were high command, but he was also an existentialist. And
okay, and again for our viewers that may not know the term existentialist, you mean.
An existentialist, according to my husband, which he is one, Fred Hentz, all of these people are existentialists. They believe in doing whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
They will do anything necessary to get what they want politically.
Okay.
And economically and whatever. In other words, killing a leader, killing 5 people, killing 20 people, according to George, is a lot better than war. This is the way they rationalize it. You didn't used to kill women and children in war when the British Army, when they were pure kind of, you know, you didn't go out and kill. I think Dresden, they did do some of that, but that was Walt Whitman Rostow and his crowd. And he's a very dangerous man. Because Walt Whitman Rostow is a communist.
Okay, and in what capacity is he?
Oh, he was one of the wise men in Kennedy's administration. I think he was probably responsible for the movement that got Kennedy murdered. I believe it was an Israeli group which did it with some of these rogues.
Okay, now when you mentioned wise men, is this an insider term?
Wise men, yeah. Kennedy's wise men were guys like, the Harvard crowd. And he was trying to bring them in to change things around a lot.
Uh-huh.
Walt Whitman Rostow was the one who got us into the Vietnam War because he wanted to sell the weapons and stuff. He and Victor Krulak, who is the present commandant's father, Krulak was his lackey. Walt Whitman Rostow's lackey. Walt Whitman Rostow went with Taylor, General Taylor, and wrote the report that got us into the Vietnam War. And all the time that the Pentagon was saying no, 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 he was a cheerleader for the weapons sales, he and Henry Kissinger, Heinz. Mm-hmm. He and Henry, Walt Whitman Rostow, Eugene Debs Rostow, these were communists, named for communists. Eugene Debs Rostow, and his, it's either his son or his other brother, runs the big Boston mob, the port there. His name is Nicholas Rostow, with the Weld. You know, with William Weld, they've done all that drug business in Mexico for years. They had that Russian, you know, the one who was murdered by the assassin, Ramon. You know, he was a competitor, Stalin's competitor, and he escaped. Very famous, Tolstoy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tolstoy became a Christian at the end, and you can't become a Christian. That's a death warrant. So they killed Tolstoy because he was becoming too, I think. Now, I don't know the whole story. There's probably a lot more to it, and I just, maybe I see completely the wrong picture there. But Tolstoy was murdered by this same Parisian, Spanish, Czechoslovakian, Georgian Russian group.
Okay.
Which are all part of the former Abwehr.
All right.
We've got to stop. Tolstoy is not the correct name. I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of it. Tolstoy is a writer.
A what?
He's a writer. He's a Russian writer. But the guy you're thinking of was murdered in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's not Tolstoy.
Okay. What was his name?
Nice little Jewish boy.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's a good point to bring this up, because if we can correct that name, and don't go that wide. When I'm talking about going wide, I'm not talking about going anywhere near that wide, because we got all this junk over here we don't want in the picture.
Are you sure it wasn't Tolstoy? I think it was.
That's his playing for.
I know he's a writer.
Sorry
about that.
I know.
It's okay. You're learning.
The right-hand man of Lenin, and he defected and went to Mexico.
Right.
He went to Mexico and murdered him.
I think it was Tolstoy.
It could be two Tolstoy.
No,
Tolstoy.
Tolstoy is a very famous author.
You know Theo Trotsky?
Oh, yes, you're right. Oh, got it. Let's correct that. Oh, thank you. Bravo.
We're getting close.
Bravo.
You were doing
close.
Well, and I thought we can't use this because it's the wrong name, and it's going to destroy
good.
The whole story.
Good,
and I'm
good.
Sorry
good.
About
good.
That.
Good.
All right, well, let's back up. Okay. we have 5 minutes to go. Okay, we can easily do that. That is on this tape. We have more time than this, but on this tape.
Next tape, and in the next 5 minutes, tell us what Max Sugg means, because you mentioned it earlier.
Okay.
But I still don't know what it means.
Let's get Trotsky in this piece right now while we're thinking about this, okay? So let's pick this up with, you were saying about, we were talking about the Wisemen. We were talking about the Rostows and
William Weld and Mexico and the involvement of the Mexican government. And it's not Tolstoy, it's Trotsky.
Okay, hold on a second. Won't even necessarily mention that, because that will be completely clipped and edited. So just go ahead and tell the whole story, but use the name Trotsky.
All right.
Okay, so
yeah,
go ahead. Here we go.
This group, which was run out of Paris, is still being run out of Paris, this revolutionary terrorist group, which is controlling these Marines and Army Steiner's group. They all operate together. The man who started all of this program during Vietnam used communists who were in the Spanish communist movement. They actually promoted communist in the OSS, which was started by this William, Donovan.
Okay.
So they were promoting and using communist who were actually wanting to get rid of our form of government as a stepping stone to world domination. So this group now in the Army and in the Marine Corps has communists at the very top who are really, you know, existentialist, which means they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ, they live for the moment, they believe in sort of one world which has no religions in it.
Right.
They're the ones who put Napoleon in power, they're the ones who put Oliver Cromwell in power. They're the ones probably who actually were behind the Roman Empire and maybe the Egyptian Empire. They put puppet people in power, and they actually run it from behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Trotsky, as I understand it, was escaped from Russia. He had become a Christian, I understand, and was working with agents in the United States, Israel. And he was considered a threat. So he had to be silenced, killed. There's an excellent book which I have called The Mind of an Assassin, which is about the background of Trotsky's assassin, a young man named Ramon, who was trained, he was Soviet paid, I think he had experience in Spain. They organized it in Paris, I believe. And, of course, up to the present time, there have been assassins operating out of Rome, Milan in particular, Naples, and Paris. And these are all anarchists, all mob-related. They use mob funding.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, drug money to pay for the weapons, mm-hmm. which are brand new weapons. This, the Bosnia Bazaar, this is the reason we had the war in Bosnia. The war in Bosnia is simply a stage to train assassins to be a market for brand new weapons, to be a marketplace so that the drug money can be used. And the army runs the whole show. It's totally run by the army. CIA is a bogus thing. You know, it's training and doctrine command. It's NATO. It's SHAPE. Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, started by Eisenhower. It's a totally independent corporation. Its main function is to sell weapons and launder money.
You're talking about CIA?
No.
No.
Talking about SHAPE.
SHAPE.
Okay. CIA is kind of bogus. I mean, it's
that's just
there.
A trade name for the media
to use. It's
to
confuse
use.
Us. It's just to get us off the track. Uh-huh. It's all being done by army people who are now joint, because the word joint comes from the group that brought over a lot, and a lot of good people came over, but they came over illegally to kind of escape Nazi Germany and stuff. I don't know that much about it, but I do know that the funding organization, one of the funding organizations, was out of New York, and it was called The Joint. And Meyer Lansky, see, our mob, the organized crime, the Jewish Kabbalist group, who don't believe in God, really. Well, they do. They look at God is a Kabbalah kind of thing, and the opposite of good is bad, and uh-huh. they have to get rid of all the good people and kill them, and then, you know, I mean, they really do this. They're uh-huh. killing people who are good on purpose, and they get brownie points with their little cult. But this funding group in New York, they would pay for passports which were illegal, and they'd in fact, my grandfather was involved with that. That's how I know so much about it, because my grandfather was told to keep silent and not to tell anybody. But, of course, he told my grandmother, and my grandmother told me, and I've told my children. Everybody knows. They brought in probably more than 200,000 Nazi soldiers and SS and, you know, wacko scientists and psychologists, and all of them, most of them, had the German disease, you know, because it was their culture.
The German disease?
Yeah, the German disease is what the Pink Triangle boys were. Colonel Ron Ray writes about this. He's a Marine colonel who's a Christian who's writing about the Cherry Marines, the homosexuality in the group sex orgies and so forth. which brought down the German government, because Naples, which is where all of the Navy is doing their playing, I mean, today in Naples, these orgies are going on. It was where Krupp, the weapons manufacturer, used to take the German high command, and they would go into the isle, on the Isle of Capri, into the Blue Grotto. And they would have big orchestras, and they'd bring in little boys, little Italian boys, mm-hmm. who would be raped. They'd give them trinkets. And, of course, the mothers gradually found out, and just like me, it was one thing when there was just one of me. Now there are a lot more of us wives who are talking and telling truth. And it took those Italian women went to newspapers in Italy. They wouldn't listen. But when they went to the wives of these guys in Germany, it brought it all out. It brought the German government down because they were duplicitous in it, you know. But what they were doing was pedophilia. They were raping, bringing in little boys. They involved the Catholic priests, you know, who were bringing in all. Anyway, so, but what happened was this whole group came over to the United States. And they, it's an old culture, but it is the reason there are a lot of things going on with children these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains why it's all being covered up, because if you've got police officers who are playing these games and they're going in the woods like to, what is this place they where, I mean, even Eisenhower played these games, even Mike Kemp out in, it's called the Hermitage.
The Hermitage.
In California, where they all run, they get drunk and they run around nude in the woods and stuff.
Bohemian Grove kind of
thing.
That's
it, Bohemian Grove.
Okay, Bohemian. Rather than Hermitage, or is the Bohemian
Grove?
Bohemian
Grove, that's the name of it.
Uh-huh.
My brain's tired.
That's okay.
And the one in, there was a big one in Washington called Rush River Lodge, where they used to all go, and there are lots of places now. But the problem, as I see it, is that I think they're trying to destroy America and the basic Protestant Christian culture, because where you have a militaristic society, which is where the rules are only for those people, and keep in mind that Meyer Lansky and Luciano, Lucky Luciano, and the other man, they chose to go to Italy. Luciano went to Milan. He wasn't banished to Naples and Milan. The two top mob families went there because of the weapons industry. They're selling weapons. I mean, that's what the military is doing. It's totally controlled by the mob. Look at this. Weinberger was General Douglas MacArthur's. He spied on MacArthur in Korea. Who was MacArthur's nemesis? Albatross. It was none other than little old intelligence. I'm going to tell every move you make, Weinberger. Young, but he did it. He brought down MacArthur. Every move MacArthur was going to make, he broadcast it through the chaplain or his little intelligence network. And he got brownie points with the group because he brought down the big lion. When you get rid of a big lion like that, you get a big job. You've done good work. And they needed to get rid of MacArthur because he didn't want to keep the wars going. He wanted it over, and you know, it's like General Treffay, who took over after the Vietnam War was over, and he was on C-SPAN in August of 96 with former Ambassador Whitehead and a few of the other the State Department Vietnam people. And General Treffay, he had been holding this in for years. He was on C-SPAN. This man let it all out. He said, I took over at the end of the Vietnam War. I was in control, right? Big general charge. So I say, cut off the shipment of weapons. So I tell the Pentagon, cut off the shipment of weapons. He said, I got a phone call from Henry Kissinger saying, the weapons are going to continue at the wartime rate.
Sure.
Now, that's when all this stuff with China started. It started before then, because already the communist agents, the New York, Brooklyn, New Jersey mob, were already training Mao. Mao was trained in Paris. So was, the one in Cambodia. What's his name? I can't think of his name. The one who was Pol Pot.
Yeah.
They were homosexually, bless their little hearts, by priests. They were wonderful little boys sent there, turned, which is the word, when they believe their mothers, and then all of a sudden the world's horrible, and then they have these wonderful friends who are going to make them leaders.
Yeah.
They're turned psychologically. And it's a pattern. And so this is why it's so important to know what they are doing to innocent little boys in the Army and the Marine Corps today. Why? Why are they having them go together in groups and strip nude when they're brand new inductees?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do certain things in mm-hmm. public in front of the group?
And well, they even do that during the pre-induction physical?
Yes.
I mean,
and they also had the doctor.
That's why I didn't want to go in the Army. I knew there was something.
Yeah. But they also turned around the other way after doing that. The other way, and they're upside down. And they do this anally.
Uh-huh.
Now, why do they do that in public? Why are the urinals all out in public, without separate stalls?
Yeah.
If they're not promoting this. And then why is it that the ones who are this way rise up faster than the ones who don't?
Because there's someone there noticing.
Yeah, sure.
Those who are
vulnerable.
Vulnerable. I was going to say rising, but that wouldn't be quite appropriate.
They're called rising stars.
Rising stars.
Rising. That's the word the State Department uses for those who are controlled. And when I was volunteering with the State Department as an escort in Virginia, I had this group called, I thought it up myself, VIVA, Virginia International Visitors Association. And I tried so hard to get to be a part of the State Department family. But I'm a Christian, I'm a Protestant Christian, and they don't want Christians in there. My goodness. I would have guests and I would let them know I was a Christian and that I love them and Virginia's a wonderful place. But I couldn't be a part of that.
No.
They sent me people, but I never was a part of it, even though I had lots and lots of dignitaries.
Did you have any contact with Madeleine Albright?
No, I lived with Sarah McClendon for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah is a Democrat. See, I was a Republican all these years. I was married for 21 years to a Democratic governor's grandson. It was an arranged marriage. And so I knew a lot of the high-level Democrats
mm-hmm.
Who were really sort of conservative. It's hard, in Virginia, they're very conservative. So when I stayed with Sarah McClendon, I had become a Republican,
Huh.
And Sarah told me a lot of the things that were going on in the White House. from her insider perspective, mm-hmm. which totally challenged my perspective on everything. You know, Ron Brown was murdered, for example.
Sure.
Vince Foster was murdered. Forstall was murdered.
Tell you what, we're gonna break right here.
Okay.
Because we're just about out of tape, I think, on this in here. This would be a good place to pick up, though. Ron Brown, Vince Foster. I think Foster had a Marine Corps background. Is that possible?
I think so. He may have. I bet he did.
That
would fit right in.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That would fit right in. Because Nussbaum's office was right across the hall.
Okay, we can pop these tapes out, actually.
Okay.
And we're fresh with brand new tapes, the number two ones. Let's take a nice little break.
All right. Under the table all these years.
Okay, and directly under whose instructions to sell these weapons? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, who would that be?
Well, it's the Israeli Zionist group in New York.
Mossad? No.
Well, yeah, but everybody thinks Mossad, like they think CIA is just a bogus sort of thing. It's really Army intelligence that does just about everything. They run this, a lot of the psychological profiling, which is done at Quantico with the FBI. It's all a very small group. Harvard professors connected with, you know, the Tavistock and Dar es Salaam, and there's a sexual perversion group in Vienna and one in Colorado. I think that little girl was part of that experiment, you know, who was
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, because I had some...
Well, you know, that raises an interesting point, because here's a high-profile murder that goes nowhere. No investigation, nobody's pinned. It just goes on and on and on.
The parents are involved in that program.
But somebody higher up is protecting them.
Absolutely.
And the same thing that you're describing about the military.
Sure.
If you're in the clique, you can get away with murder.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Murder, literally murder.
Uh-huh.
And I had a group of visitors. I used to be set up by the State Department, my husband, who had power in the State Department through both Caspar Weinberger and, well, his whole crowd. Caspar Weinberger, George Bush, Colby, Casey. My husband was in that clique. He was in the Princeton Marine Corps clique. Rob, Warner, you know.
You're talking Senator Rob.
Yeah, they're all Marines. Pat Robertson, all 4th Marines. I mean, they're all involved in this. They know, they're running everything.
Now, you mentioned Pat Robertson. You're talking about the 700 Club, Pat Robertson.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a power thing there. And it's all male, it's all white, and they know the murders are going on. They're surgical, they're strategic, they're political. But what I was going to tell you is I was used because I was the most gullible in high school. And I'm very, very spiritual, and I love people. So, and I was driven to meet all these people from all over the world for some reason. So they would feed me people because they knew I would react. It's kind of like Monica and Bill. I think they put Monica in there to have something on Bill. That's my own feeling. Mm-hmm. Sarah McLendon feels the same way.
Uh-huh.
Because...
And Linda Tripp was there to guide the situation.
Absolutely. Of course. Linda Tripp was Delta Force. Linda Tripp was trained by Carl Steiner, who's in the diary with my husband. Carl Steiner is called a snake. And he tried to trip up Schwarzkopf. I mean, he was trying to take the whole Iraqi thing over because they had been baiting, you know, using the Israeli rogues in Turkey. They were having little zigzag wars. It's all to sell weapons. It's all about weapon sales. It's all about drugs. It's all about funny money.
Making money.
Of course. And the head, Krulak, who is the commandant of the Marine Corps, his father, Victor Krulak, worked with this Russian, Czechoslovakian double agent who was worked with Al Gray, who was enlisted at that time, rose right up to the top because they were involved with Bucher and this whole crowd that was trying to pick fights. Mm-hmm. And they were not, they were Army and Navy together.
Mm-hmm.
Joint. And George kept saying, George calls them the members of the firm. He calls them the members of the firm. I've heard the brotherhood. They're very close. And it's a small group, and it's very hierarchical. I had Caspar Weinberger's bodyguard farm me when I was at Sarah McLendon's.
Now, farm you.
Yeah, that's a term that they use.
Where they cultivate?
Not cultivate, but just want to find out kind of they're doing profiling on me. Women are hard to profile because we're very easy. We're very easy if you understand women. And I think they need more women in human intelligence because we'd solve a lot of these problems like overpopulation or whatever it is very quickly. Because we're the ones who teach the men how to talk, how to communicate. We think on 20 levels at once. You know, we're very spiritual, we're very practical, all at the same time. And they make mistakes by pegging women as crazy when really they're very anxious to solve problems. They're just very frustrated to see a lot of wacko things going on that don't need to be going on, but the guys don't see it. So with my husband and so forth, I was used... they profiled me. They knew I loved international people because I'd already demonstrated that. And there was a group of sexual psychologists, psychiatrists from Vienna who came over. I have pictures of them. I was their escort. George was already gone, and I was intrigued that they were still sending me people.
Okay, now you referred to them as sexual psychologists?
Yeah, there's a whole range of psychiatrists who study perversion, sexual perversion. Harvard, Yale, Johns Hopkins, and this Colorado group. Dar es Salaam, where they train the black African terrorists. They train them in interrogation. They train the JAGs in interrogation methods and so forth. And a lot of these guys got their experience in Vietnam. Intentionally, they took these little boys. That's what they're doing in Bosnia right now. They're training future leaders in perversion. They have a school. The British have a school that George was working with in Indonesia for a year. My husband was setting up there was already a program on East Timor, a little place there in the mountains, that had been set up by the Australians during World War II. It was involved, I think, with Burma and, you know, some of the killings that were going on in China and so forth, that T. Parker Host, this man who now controls my husband with Bob Edwards. T. Parker Host, this is how they got together. T. Parker Host, I knew when I was the assistant director of the Virginia Center for World Trade. I was the first woman on the board of the Foreign Commerce Club. I was very involved politically, and I was having a ball. And I met T. Parker Host through someone else. I was the chairman of a board of all these international shippers and brokers. I was just a glorified secretary public relations person. Now, T. Parker Host was the Finnish consul and he'd been the Norwegian consul. The Icelandic consul. I thought he was a really nice guy because he was outgoing, he seemed Virginian. I didn't know that much about him. But it turns out he has one shipping agency when I meet him in 85. He knows my husband's profession instantly because he brags about being with the mob. See, the mob runs the port of Norfolk. I mean, it's terrible to say the bankers, and then that, then they have the. This is not. I can't say that.
You can't say what?
No, it's the ports are run by. It's a homosexual hierarchy.
Okay, it makes sense. That's not objection.
Well, okay, and in Norfolk, it's Walter Chrysler, Phil Hornthal. You know, they have the rich ones, and then they get the little ones in by introducing them to the big guys. It's like George met Einstein. Einstein was in that little ring that the Saudis were in. It was a very elite.
No, you're saying Einstein?
Albert Einstein. Okay. Was in that little Princeton ring before he died. Okay. George they partied mm-hmm. together. Anyway, so the Norfolk crowd runs the port. It's very organized and so forth. And I knew the person who was running the Maritime Association Shipping Agency, very nice man who was that way. But I didn't know it, you know. I went out with him. I like him very much. I mean, he's a very nice person. But
And completely homosexual.
Completely. But he liked me, and I thought he was wonderful.
Many homosexuals are very engaging people.
Yeah, he's a very, very nice guy. Well, his best friend was T. Parker Host. He lived with him for a while. Well, I didn't think anything about Parker because, you know, he'd been married and had a couple of sons, and I thought, well, you know, this is just a guy who's moved away from Newport News for some reason and settled in Norfolk. I thought it was unusual. He didn't have any friends. You know, I didn't know. But it wasn't because of that. It was because Parker had some questionable associations with mob figures, with assassins. He was in the Burma Special Operations Command. He liked living a dangerous life, and he bragged about it mm-hmm. to others.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and he gravitated to one another. And I thought it was wonderful because my husband didn't seem to have any friends. So I sort of fixed him up with Parker. Well, Parker's the one who did me in, you know. Parker plotted, and it's a long story, but basically, and this sounds petty, but I wouldn't go out with him. And I'm not saying I did anything that was, it's just that he wasn't my type.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
You know, well, I mean, not that he just was, he's boorish, he's loud, he's kind of rude.
So you're saying even just in a social context.
Yeah.
Just.
So what happened was, because my husband is so close to Bush and McFarland and Scowcroft and all mm-hmm. these guys, Parker starts getting in with my husband's friends and cultivating them. And he goes from having one shipping agency to dotted all over the place. He goes from being a Democrat in petty little Virginia politics and being the Icelandic Finnish consul to having big shipping deals going through Iceland and Finland and Norway, and my husband's setting up deals in Moss, Norway, which I was the president of the Sister City Association. I was being used while they were setting up, you know, shipment places, transshipment places. I mean, I was witnessing all of this, and it all came back to me, just boom, like that. But Parker, it was so interesting. We had a hearing. I had a hearing with my husband. That very day, George Bush was in town. My husband was in town. My home was broken into while I was in court. Very strategically, I was called by a Marine colonel named Jack, who is very involved with the maritime shipping business, and he knew that I know a lot about that. He called me and invited me as a guest of his to attend the George Bush huge banquet with John Warner while my house was being robbed. My car was sabotaged that day. And guess who introduced George Bush? T. Parker Host. Now, he made it to the big time.
You know, Alexander Haig is another one. You can help yourself to any coffee.
Thank
I think
you.
Out there.
Yeah, he's a friend.
Alexander Haig, he rose from nothing to top dog just overnight. That's because he's in the club.
Oh, of course he's in the club. Now, how he's in the club, you see.
Now, all these guys.
Heinz Kissinger. Oh, I have a story.
We all suspect Henry's a queer.
Oh, well, I have a first-hand story from Bob, who was there in Cambodia with Heinz.
Okay, you call him Heinz.
Henry.
Yeah, okay.
Heinz. His real name is Heinz Kissinger.
Okay. We'll straighten up. We got a light that fell down, boys. Did you notice that? We got to be alert to notice all these little things. And that's very hot, by
the
way.
See, Haig was an
just
army...
Just a second. Let's get this straight here, because right. that is a hot light, and you'll burn your fingers if you don't touch it. By the way, as long as we're kind of in an unofficial break here, did you have to read my note while I was writing it?
See, just part of it.
When I was writing it? Or only when I held it up?
When you held it up for a year.
Okay.
Well,
I was starting to write. I wrote, widen her a bit. And then I looked up. Well, lo and behold, he's done it. So I thought, well, he maybe could read this over my shoulder. That's cool. And then...
Oh, you saw it and interpreted.
I've seen you.
You could read it from here?
Oh, that's cute. This is... Oh, y'all are wonderful. What a team.
And
what a team you are.
You could... Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, all you got to do, if you write it, just tip up a little bit, I'll...
Okay. Because the thing that... When she's illustrating something and using her hands, well, then... Seize on that and open it up so that we don't lose the lower part of our hands. You know, not far enough down to where, you know, strategically we get out of focus, but just, that's cool. All right, we're back, and this is good. Let's go back to, we want to talk about Henry Kissinger, but also I introduced the idea about George Bush. Three, two, one. Now, so George Bush, I mean, all these people rise up through the ranks, the same club. Right. No wonder, you know, I saw a little TV clip one time where a reporter was asking George Bush and others about the Order of the Skull and Bones. All these guys were shocked that somebody even mentioned the term, and they just would not discuss it at all.
Right.
And the reporter said, I understand that as part of the oath, you don't discuss it. And George just flat out said, it's just not to be discussed. And that was the end of the subject. Now, that's because, I mean, if this really got out, that these guys are all inducted because they've got some kind of homosexual thing on them.
Indoctrination. I mean, or induction. They have to do that.
Yeah.
They do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In a coffin. And it's even now coming into the military totally. The chiefs do that. They put them in the coffin. They do the bowling ball trick.
Okay, you're going to explain this. What happens when you get in the coffin? Why do you get in a coffin?
Oh, they get, when you get your eagles, that's a German thing.
Okay.
You know, it's what the German high command did. And most of them, you know, had the boyfriends and stuff, the Krupps and all of that. It is a German thing that they say goes back to Greece, and it's all the male marine-looking men that they do it with. So now the chiefs have to do that. What they do is they get, George said it's like a zoo. They get everybody really drunk, and they sometimes call it dining in. Shellback is another time that they do it. Not everybody does it. But the ones who do it, if they're young, they get right up to the top. It's a...
Okay, well, what actually do they do? They've got a coffin, they get
inside... Anal sex. Oh, that. They do... They put them in the coffin, and they do things.
Okay, they perform things on each other.
Yeah, while they're all around there going drunk. And
I see. So there's a guy in the coffin.
Yeah, and he's the one who is
the recipient of all the acts.
Right.
Probably safe to conclude these are oral sex acts on this guy or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. Oral and anal, whatever. Yeah. But
what's the significance of the coffin?
I don't know.
It's the mystique about the skull and bones.
What's
and death
interesting is the now the young SEALs, Delta Force, the ones who go from Army to BUDS, the BUDS training SEALs. BUDS is the emerging SEAL group.
Oh, I see. They're budding SEALs.
Budding SEALs.
I see.
And they have to break into houses. Their training exercise is to break into civilians' houses.
For practice.
For practice. They broke into my house. When George and I were first married, I had many, many, many underwear. You know, this is terrible to say, but lingerie. I had lots of, you know, I didn't buy much, but it all disappeared. And then when the psyching was beginning, I had white blouses, but they would all have black dots on them. I'd say, George, here's another blouse with a black dot.
It was just a little message?
This is somebody's message, you know. Or I would, after George left, it was batteries in a drawer. You know, you can't tell the police I opened up a drawer where I had six batteries and now I've got 50 batteries. They're going to say, well, of course you're crazy, you know. And I started my little sob with a screwdriver. And, you know, I was always looking around for screwdrivers. Well, one day I come home, and there are about 12 screwdrivers on the table, you know, neatly placed. Well, you can't call the police and say, I've got 12 screwdrivers, you know. You can't tell people that you've got black dots on all your white blouses. You know, your shoes are disappearing. And then, this is really, I call the police. The first break-in, which was the night of March the 4th, the night before I went to see General Joy at the Marriott.
Yeah.
Well, I had already called the police when I was battered because I was just bruises. I made O.J.'s wife look like Marilyn Monroe. I mean, you talk about. And I was doing this because I thought it would help him, you know, have 45s put to my head, and he's laughing. He'd strangle me and put his finger on my jugular vein, and he'd just say, now, don't you dare move, you know. I mean, or I'd be lying in bed, and he'd do a jap where he'd just push me off the bed. You can't believe what horror I went through to try and get this man to understand what Christ's love is about. You know, people say, oh, well, you should have left. Well, I took my marriage vows seriously. Mm. I knew he was injured psychologically by the war, by whatever he was made to do. So, I mean, I'm fine. I just sacrificed a lot. I was in a big wrestling match with a crazy guy, you know. But I still love the little boy within. He's very troubled. But anyway, I called the police after a number of little break-ins. And guess what? The policeman they sent was a little short guy with a short haircut, whose name was Shorty Satterwhite.
Okay.
And Shorty Satterwhite was saying, oh, now, Miss Griggs, now you're just making this up. Now, you know, Miss Griggs, this is just, you're just traumatized, your husband's gone, blah, blah, blah. I found out he was a 20-year Marine.
Huh. Okay.
And not only that, but there's another part of his life. But that's okay. I mean, he's a nice guy. But he was a Marine.
And he takes orders.
Of course he does. He's still reserve. So I think, okay, I'll call the FBI. You know, I'll let them know what's going on. I heard about the FISA court and that they, you know, because I'm talking about William Colby, maybe they think I'm a threat because I know all these international people. So I'm just going to call them and tell them what's going on. So I called Torrance, who's the head of the FBI, and he's too busy, you know, too busy. So he sends this guy, Dan McNally, out. And Dan McNally is a very nice guy, and he has this girl interview me, and I type out something about George's history and what I know. Guess who else is a 20-year Marine? Dan McNally.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that Dan McNally's best friend, and he's not married either, but that's all right, his best friend, who is from North Carolina and never married, is a best friend of Fred Hentz, who's the one who took me to this place, Mahi Maz, where I had the two death threats, who was graduated from college in the flat 59. He was intelligence. His father was a German high, part of the Kaiser's elite group.
Mm-hmm.
He was NATO colonel, which I thought was pretty neat, and that's why they knew the profile. Kay likes NATO people, because she's going to learn a little bit about another culture, you know. And I'm not saying that because his, you know, his family were high command, but he was also an existentialist. And
okay, and again, for our viewers that may not know the term existentialist, you mean
an existentialist, according to my husband, which he is one, Fred, hence all of these people are existentialists. They believe in doing whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
They will do anything necessary to get what they want politically,
okay,
and economically, and whatever. In other words, killing a leader, killing 5 people, killing 20 people, according to George, is a lot better than war. This is the way they rationalize it. You didn't used to kill women and children in war when the British Army, when they were pure, kind of, you know, you didn't go out and kill. I think Dresden, they did do some of that, but that was Walt Whitman Rostow and his crowd. And he's a very dangerous man, because Walt Whitman Rostow is a communist.
Okay, and in what capacity is he?
Oh, he was one of the wise men in Kennedy's administration. I think he was probably responsible for the movement that got Kennedy murdered. I believe it was an Israeli group which did it with some of these rogues.
Okay, now when you mentioned wise men, is this an insider term?
Wise men, yeah. Kennedy's wise men were guys like, the Harvard crowd. And he was trying to bring them in to change things around a lot.
Uh-huh.
Walt Whitman Rostow was the one who got us into the Vietnam War because he wanted to sell the weapons and stuff. He and Victor Krulak, who is the present commandant's father, Krulak was his lackey. Walt Whitman Rostow's lackey. Walt Whitman Rostow went with Taylor, General Taylor, and wrote the report that got us into the Vietnam War. And all the time that the Pentagon was saying no, 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 he was a cheerleader for the weapons sales, he and Henry Kissinger, Heinz. Mm-hmm. He and Henry, Walt Whitman Rostow, Eugene Debs Rostow, these were communists, named for communists. Eugene Debs Rostow and it's either his son or his other brother, runs the big Boston mob, the port there. His name is Nicholas Rostow, with the Weld, with William Weld. They've done all that drug business in Mexico for years. They had that Russian, the one who was murdered by the assassin, Ramon. You know, he was a competitor, Stalin's competitor, and he escaped. Very famous, Tolstoy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tolstoy became a Christian at the end, and you can't become a Christian. That's a death warrant. So they killed Tolstoy because he was becoming too, I think. Now, I don't know the whole story. There's probably a lot more to it, and I just, maybe I see completely the wrong picture there. But Tolstoy was murdered by this same Parisian, Spanish, Czechoslovakian, Georgian, Russian group.
Okay.
Which are all part of the former Abwehr.
All right.
We've got to stop. Tolstoy is not the correct name. I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of it. Tolstoy is a writer.
A what?
He's a writer. He's a Russian writer. But the guy you're thinking of was murdered in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's not Tolstoy.
Okay. What was his name?
Nice little Jewish boy.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's a good point to bring this up, because if we can correct that name, and don't go that wide. When I'm talking about going wide, I'm not talking about going anywhere near that wide, because we got all this junk over here we don't want in the picture.
Are you sure it
that
wasn't Tolstoy?
Is
I think it was.
That's his plenty for.
I know he's a writer.
It's okay.
I know.
It's okay. You're learning.
The right-hand man of Lenin, and he defected and went to Mexico.
Right.
He went to Mexico and murdered him.
I think it was Tolstoy.
It could be two Tolstoy.
No,
Tolstoy.
Tolstoy is a very famous author.
You know, Theo Trotsky.
Oh, yes, you're right. Hey, oh, got it. Let's correct that. Oh, thank you. Bravo.
We're getting close.
Bravo.
You were doing
close.
Well, and I thought we can't use this because it's the wrong name, and it's going to destroy
good.
The whole story.
Good,
and I'm sorry
okay.
Good.
All right, well, let's back up. Okay. We have 5 minutes to go. Okay. We can easily do that. That is on this tape.
What,
we have more time than this, but on this
tape. Next tape, and in the next 5 minutes, tell us what Max Sog means, because you mentioned it earlier.
Okay.
But I still don't know what it means.
Let's get Trotsky in this piece right now while we're thinking about this, okay? So let's pick this up with, you were saying about, we were talking about the wise men. We were talking about the Rostos and
William Weld and Mexico and the involvement of the Mexican government. And it's not Tolstoy; it's Trotsky.
Okay, hold on a second. Won't even necessarily mention that because that will be completely clipped and edited. So just go ahead and tell the whole story, but use the name Trotsky.
All right.
Okay. So
yeah,
go ahead. Here we go.
This group. Which was run out of Paris, is still being run out of Paris, this revolutionary terrorist group which is controlling these Marines and Army Steiner's group. They all operate together. The man who started all of this program during Vietnam used communists who were in the Spanish communist movement. They actually promoted communists in the OSS, which was started by this William, Donovan.
Okay.
So they were promoting and using communists who were actually wanting to get rid of our form of government as a stepping stone to world domination. So this group now, in the Army and in the Marine Corps, has communists at the very top who are really, you know, existentialist, which means they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ, they live for the moment, they believe in sort of one world which has no religions in it.
Right.
They're the ones who put Napoleon in power, they're the ones who put Oliver Cromwell in power, they're the ones probably who actually were behind the Roman Empire and maybe the Egyptian Empire. They put puppet people in power, and they actually run it from behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Trotsky, as I understand it, was escaped from Russia. He had become a Christian, I understand, and was working with agents in the United States. Israel, and he was considered a threat, so he had to be silenced, killed. There's an excellent book which I have called The Mind of an Assassin, which is about the background of Trotsky's assassin, a young man named Ramon, who was trained, he was Soviet paid, I think he had experience in Spain. They organized it in Paris, I believe. And, of course, up to the present time, there have been assassins operating out of Rome, Milan in particular, Naples, and Paris. And these are all anarchists, all mob-related. They use mob funding.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, drug money to pay for the weapons, mm-hmm. which are brand-new weapons. The Bosnia Bazaar, this is the reason we had the war in Bosnia. The war in Bosnia is simply a stage to train assassins to be a market for brand new weapons, to be a marketplace so that the drug money can be used. And the army runs the whole show. It's totally run by the army. The CIA is a bogus thing. You know, it's Training and Doctrine Command. It's NATO. It's SHAPE. Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, started by Eisenhower. It's a totally independent corporation. Its main function is to sell weapons and launder money.
You're talking about CIA?
No.
No.
Talking about SHAPE.
SHAPE.
Okay. CIA is kind of bogus. I mean, it's
that's just
there.
A trade name for the media
it's to
use.
Confuse us. It's just to get us off the track. It's all being done by army people who are now joint, because the word joint comes from the group that brought over a lot of good people came over, but they came over illegally to kind of escape Nazi Germany and stuff. I don't know that much about it, but I do know that the funding organization, one of the funding organizations, was out of New York, and it was called The Joint. And Meyer Lansky, see, our mob, the organized crime, the Jewish Kabbalist group, who don't believe in God, really, well, they do, they look at God is a Kabbalah kind of thing, and the opposite of good is bad, and they have to get rid of all the good people and kill them, and then, you know, I mean, they really do this. They're killing people who are good on purpose, and they get brownie points with their little cult. But this funding group in New York, they would pay for passports which were illegal, and they'd in fact, my grandfather was involved with that. That's how I know so much about it, because my grandfather was told to keep silent and not to tell anybody. But, of course, he told my grandmother, and my grandmother told me, and I've told my children. Everybody knows. They brought in probably more than 200,000 Nazi soldiers and SS and, you know, wacko scientists and psychologists. And all of them, most of them, had the German disease, you know, because it was their culture.
The German disease?
Yeah, the German disease is what the Pink Triangle boys were. Colonel Ron Ray writes about this. He's a Marine colonel who's a Christian who's writing about the Cherry Marines, the homosexuality in the group sex orgies and so forth, which brought down the German government, because Naples, which is where all of the Navy is doing their playing. I mean, today, in Naples, these orgies are going on. It was where Krupp, the weapons manufacturer, used to take the German high command, and they would go into the Isle of Capri, into the Blue Grotto. And they would have big orchestras, and they'd bring in little boys, little Italian boys, who would be raped. They give them trinkets. And, of course, the mothers gradually found out. And just like me, it was one thing when there was just one of me. Now there are a lot more of us wives who are talking and telling truth. And it took those Italian women went to newspapers in Italy. They wouldn't listen. But when they went to the wives of these guys in Germany, it brought it all out. It brought the German government down because they were duplicitous in it, you know. But what they were doing was pedophilia. They were raping, bringing in little boys. They involved the Catholic priests, you know, who were bringing in all. Anyway, so, but what happened was this whole group came over to the United States. And they, It's an old culture, but it is the reason there are a lot of things going on with children these days. And it explains why it's all being covered up, because if you've got police officers who are playing these games, and they're going in the woods, like to, what is this place they where, I mean, even Eisenhower played these games. Even Mike Kemp out in, it's called the Hermitage.
The Hermitage.
In California, where they all run, they get drunk, and they run around nude in the woods and stuff.
Bohemian Grove kind of
That's
thing.
That's it, Bohemian Grove.
Okay, rather than Hermitage, or is the Bohemian
Grove? Bohemian Grove, that's the name of it.
Uh-huh.
My brain's tired.
That's okay.
And the one in, there was a big one in Washington called Rush River Lodge, where they used to all go, and there are lots of places now. But the problem, as I see it, is that I think they're trying to destroy America and the basic Protestant Christian culture, because where you have a militaristic society, which is where the rules are only for those people, and keep in mind that Meyer Lansky and Luciano, Lucky Luciano, and the other man, they chose to go to Italy. Luciano went to Milan. He wasn't banished to Naples and Milan. The two top mob families went there because of the weapons industry. They're selling weapons. I mean, that's what the military is doing. It's totally controlled by the mob. Look at this. Weinberger was General Douglas MacArthur's. He spied on MacArthur in Korea. Who was MacArthur's nemesis, Albatross? It was none other than little old intelligence, I'm going to tell every move you make, Weinberger. Young, but he did it. He brought down MacArthur. Every move MacArthur was going to make, he broadcast it through the chaplain, his little intelligence network. And he got brownie points with the group because he brought down the big lion. When you get rid of a big lion like that, you get a big job. You've done good work. And they needed to get rid of MacArthur because he didn't want to keep the wars going. He wanted it over, and you know, it's like General Treffay, who took over after the Vietnam War was over, and he was on C-SPAN in August of 96 with former Ambassador Whitehead and a few of the other the State Department Vietnam people. And General Treffay, he had been holding this in for years. He was on C-SPAN. This man let it all out. He said, I took over at the end of the Vietnam War. I was in control, right? Big general charge. So I say, cut off the shipment of weapons. So I tell the Pentagon, cut off the shipment of weapons. He said, I got a phone call from Henry Kissinger saying, the weapons are going to continue at the wartime rate.
Sure.
Now, that's when all this stuff with China started. It started before then, because already the communist agents, the New York, Brooklyn, New Jersey mob, were already training Mao. Mao was trained in Paris. So was the one in Cambodia, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The one who was Pol Pot.
Yeah.
They were homosexually, bless their little hearts, by priests. They were wonderful little boys sent there, turned, which is the word, when they believe their mothers, and then all of a sudden the world's horrible, and then they have these wonderful friends who are going to make them leaders.
Yeah.
They're turned psychologically. And it's a pattern. And so this is why it's so important to know what they are doing to innocent little boys in the Army and the Marine Corps today. Why? Why are they having them go together in groups and strip nude when they're brand new inductees.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do certain things in public, in front of the group?
And well, they why, even do that at, during the pre-induction physical?
Yes.
I mean,
and they also had the doctor.
That's why I didn't want to go in the Army. I knew there was something.
Yeah. But they also turned around the other way after doing that. The other way, and they're upside down. And they do this anally.
Uh-huh.
Now, why do they do that in public? Why are the urinals all out in public, you know, without separate stalls?
Yeah.
If they're not promoting this. And then why is it that the ones who are this way rise up faster than the ones who don't?
Because there's someone there noticing.
Yeah, sure.
Those who are
vulnerable.
Vulnerable. I was going to say rising, but that wouldn't be quite appropriate.
They're called rising stars.
Rising stars.
Rising. That's the word the State Department uses for those who are controlled. And when I was volunteering with the State Department as an escort in Virginia, I had this group called, I thought it up myself, VIVA, Virginia International Visitors Association. And I tried so hard to get to be a part of the State Department family. But you know, I'm a Christian, see. I'm a Protestant Christian. And they don't want Christians in there. My goodness. You know, I would have guests and I would let them know I was a Christian and that I love them and Virginia's a wonderful place. And
yeah.
But I couldn't be a part of that.
No.
They sent me people, but I never was a part of it, even though I had lots and lots of dignitaries.
Did you have any contact with Madeline Albright?
No, I lived with Sarah McClendon for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah is a Democrat. See, I was a Republican all these years. I was married for 21 years to a Democratic governor's grandson. It was an arranged marriage. And so I knew a lot of the high-level Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Who were really sort of conservative. It's hard, you know, in Virginia, they're very conservative. So when I stayed with Sarah McClendon, I had become a Republican, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah told me a lot of the things that were going on in the White House from her insider perspective,
mm-hmm.
which totally challenged my perspective on everything. You know, Ron Brown was murdered, for example.
Sure.
Vince Foster was murdered. Forstall was murdered.
Tell you what, we're gonna break right here.
Okay.
Because we're just about on a tape, I think, on this in here. This would be a good place to pick up, though. Ron Brown, Vince Foster. I think Foster had a Marine Corps background. Is that possible?
I think so. He may have. I bet he did.
That
would fit right in.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that would fit right in. Because
yeah.
Nussbaum's office was right across the hall.
Okay, we can pop these tapes out, actually.
Okay.
And we're fresh with brand new tapes, the number 2 ones. Let's take a nice little break.
All right.